each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey everybody, and welcome. Hello.
Welcome, Father.
Tony. It's been 2 weeks.
It's been 2 weeks.
Too long.
Feels like a long time.
Wow. Well, welcome. Welcome. It's good. It's good to be back. And yeah. Let me just a little update. I'm just going to put it out there about my health, because people have been praying and asking, and to be honest, you know, I really don't like to talk about it because why? Because I feel fine. Because I feel fine. So those who may not know, I've been battling cancer for 3 years. It's hard to believe. It's been 3 years. But anyway, things were going okay, good, really good, I suspect. And but I get this tumor that's lodged right between the liver, the stomach, and the esophagus, so it's inoperable. They can't operate. And I was off the treatment from July until January, and then I did a CT scan in October, and they said, well, there's something suspicious. We were going to leave it be. We might, you know, the treatment, there's, I'm on this, what do they call it? It's called Keytruda, but it's immunotherapy. I think I started with chemotherapy and all that, but.
Is that experimental or?
Right. It was a clinical trial, started out as such. But anyway, so then when I went back in January, they did another CT scan, and it had it was growing. And so they said, you know, we're going to put you back on the treatment. That's why I leave every 3 weeks, because I go to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester. And so I do that every 3 weeks. And then they did another CAT scan, CT scan, CAT scan, and it continues to grow, and then they did the third. Two and a half or 3 weeks ago, and continues to grow. So it's not responding to the treatment, and so the question was, okay, what are we going to do? You know, we can't operate, and because of the location, so they didn't even know if they could do radiology. So I had to go back the following week for appointments, and they'd study the scans, and so they can't do thank God they can do a treatment. You know, they're going to do a regimen of radiation treatments. They would ideally like to do proton therapy or whatever. I'm not really astute when it comes to all this, but where they can just go right in and zap it, but it would just cause collateral damage to the other organ. So it's a sensitive area. So the doctor said, they have a team of doctors that work on this and study this, and he said, well, you know, if they can do radiation, you should probably expect to be here maybe 3 to 5 weeks. Well, I didn't want to hear that, right?
Who does?
Right. So, but the first thing was, can they do it? And right. So I was there. That's why I was last week there. And they're going to do the radiation. So, but not, thank God, not over all those weeks, but they're right. going to do five consecutive treatments. And so I'll be out next week. And that's also the week that I have the therapy. I continue with the therapy. It's not, they call it chemo, but it's not technically the chemo. It's this other a therapy. And well, we'll see. We'll see. But I feel fine. That's they're kind of befuddled by that fact, you know, that I, everybody says you look good, like you don't look like you, you know, right. you wouldn't, I just feel fine. And I guess that's the thing. If I didn't feel good, you know, then I would have cause for concern, or it would all make sense right. to me. But the fact that I feel so good, I mean, I put in my exercise every day. I eat right. I try to eat.
It's probably what's keeping you strong.
You know, thank God.
In prayer.
And absolutely. But thank God, you know, over the course of the, except for that first period after I had that major surgery on Good Friday, that was always a good sign for me. I didn't know if it was a good sign or a bad sign. I didn't know what to take it, whether a good sign or a bad sign.
Right.
This major surgery, two surgeons on Good Friday 3 years ago, right at 12 o'clock. It began right at 12 o'clock.
That is a good sign.
It was a good sign. I didn't know if it was a good sign. It was a good sign insofar as I knew that God right. had his hand in this, but I don't know. I didn't know what it meant, you know. And, but the aftermath of that surgery was a big ordeal because I didn't know what it was like to have major surgery. And but what's amazing is how the body reacts, how it responds, how it the healing process is right, really quite remarkable. So, but that was like 2 months, I think I was out, and then I had to go through chemotherapy for 6 months, and that failed. It didn't, and because it is, it's a four-stage cancer, which means that it metastasizes, it goes to other organs, and so that's why it's where it's at. It's part of the same cancer. So that's, that's where I'm at. I just wanted to let people know because there's a lot of people wonder and they, you know, and I really don't like to talk about it. And it's not because I...
Here he goes talking about himself again.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. But
this is a good opportunity. You say it once and hopefully you don't have to say it again and you will.
But the nice thing about it is, I say the nice thing, is there anything nice about it? Yeah, there are hidden blessings in all this, you know, because it really... put you in a place with so many other people who we're like of kindred spirits, you know. We understand what we're going through, and I cannot complain. All I can do is thank God for the blessings that I've received and for the strength that I've had and the fact that I've been able to keep a full time work really full time, except that I have to leave every 3 weeks for this treatment. But so my hope is that I can, and I, this, if I ask for any prayers, that's what I ask, is that I just can continue to, you know, feel healthy and that they can do, I mean, ultimately it's in God's hands, you know. We do all we can, we pray, and then it's just like the Gethsemane prayer of Jesus, you know, not my will, but thy will be done. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. First he says, let this cup pass me by, right? And so you say, okay, here's my will, is get this out of me, you know. Get this out of me. That's my will, but not my will, but thy will be done. God has the bigger picture, right? The bigger picture. But it does, and as I say, I can't complain because I look at all these young people, so many young people, and that really is heart-wrenching, you know. And I have to say quite honestly, I really haven't prayed for myself. I have this huge list of people that I pray for.
Isn't it hard? And I think about this, and that's why, contrary to what most people think or say, I like when you talk about this, because I think about how many times you've gone through our journeys.
Sure.
And now, in a way, it's interesting, you can't pray for yourself because... that's what you do normally. You pray for everybody else. So that's why, you know, again, I we go through this with you.
Yeah, no, and
that's what, such a beautiful.
That's what really gives me the strength. But having said that, I do now pray for myself.
Yeah,
as of 2 weeks ago, I added my name to the prayer list as well. Yeah. And you know, when I go before the Blessed Sacrament, mm-hmm. I started this. I guess about 3 weeks ago, because I guess that's when they said, you know, this is it continues to grow. It's not responding to the treatment, and it's inoperable. We don't know if we can do radiation. And so, you know, that's when I would go before the Blessed Sacrament, I just say, okay, you're the divine physician, and so it's as if not as if, but I place myself in the presence of the divine physician, and you know, that you, you know, so this is where I add my name to the list mm-hmm. of those to pray for. Now, last week when I was there, when they decided they're able to do this radiation, I had to go through this, it's a simulation or whatever, where it's a 3D kind of a thing. So it's really amazing what they can do now. There's so many things, so many, that's why people should always, you know, if you're going through this, first of all, let me just say, and I beg everybody, please, you know, do your checkups, you know, go to the doctor, get your physicals and all that, because I never had need for a doctor. And so I, you know, when I turned 50, people said, you should get this checkup, that checkup, you know, and this is, I feel fine, you know, I'll do it when I turn 60. I kept putting it off. No, I said, when I turn 55, then I'll go to a doctor. When I turn 55, I feel fine. When I turn 60, I'll go to the doctor. When I turned 60, I said, you know, when I turned 65,
yeah.
But at 60, that's when all this began to, and if it hadn't been for this cough that I had, I never would have known, and I really wouldn't be here today, to be honest. And so anyway, so I'll just leave it at that. But the reason why you don't want to talk about it is it's just, you get tired. Like, for instance, when I'm here, I really like being here. Mm-hmm. It's better that I'm there when I do the treatments and all that, because it gets me away from the stress of the parish, and so I can deal with it. And I've become very comfortable with the, for the most part, I mean, you're never comfortable with hospitals.
Doctors and hospitals.
I love doctors and the nurses. They're all great. They're great. But I always had this fear of, that's why I don't even like visiting people in the hospital, because I just don't like that
being there
setting.
Yeah.
In one way, and on the other hand, when I was a seminary and I worked in a hospital, and it is its own little subculture within the culture or sub-society within the society, and it is quite fascinating. It really is. But I was really young at that time. I was in my 20s, and I was, you know, you think you're going to live forever, and you're invincible, and it was nice. As you get older, I just didn't like the... I just don't like to think of myself in those kind of situations. Now, when you end up in those situations, you eventually get used to it. Mm-hmm. But do you really ever get completely used to it? I don't know.
Yeah.
But what I find is, so when I'm there, I have to make this mental adjustment. You know, mm-hmm. I have to kind of make a psychic transition into this ambiance that is... clinics and mm-hmm. Machines and needles and blood and you know, all that stuff,
yeah.
Right? And just being around sick people mm-hmm. all the time. But at the same time, I don't have the burden, a happy burden, of the parish, the stress of the parish. I think it was a blessing in disguise that I was... snatched from here and taken there immediately after I was diagnosed, because I didn't really have time to think, and it was already arranged for me. And I thank God for that, because I don't know that I would have survived that major surgery, recuperation, and I live where I work, right? And so even being here, if I'm not working, I feel the burden of the work, and I feel this, like I should be doing this, and I'm not doing this, and all that. So when I go there, when I leave here, it's like it's behind me, and so I can deal with it. But what I find is when I'm here, I don't really think about this. Mm-hmm. You know, I told the doctor, and this is why it boggles the mind, because I said, I'm repeating myself now, but I said, if I felt sick, that would be one thing. But you're telling me this, and yet I feel perfectly fine, yeah. you know? And that's what, and then they ask you all these questions, you know, mm-hmm. like, well, are you feeling this? Do you feel this nauseousness? Are you, a whole right. series of questions. And I'm saying, no. don't put this into my head because, right. you know, then I start thinking.
Then you start feeling it.
But so the final thing I want to say is that, so they did the simulation so they could mm-hmm. actually pinpoint where, they know exactly where the tumor is and the size. And so it's like a 3D thing where when I start next week, they're going to come in from three different sides with these beams. Mm-hmm. And so now I know exactly where it is because they tattoo three parts of my body right. where they're going to put those beams through. So now I know exactly where the tumor is. Well, wouldn't you know it? Now that I know exactly where it is, I feel that I feel it. Right. I think. I don't know if yeah. it's psychosomatic or what. But
it might be.
Yeah, anyway, so, but I want to thank everybody for your prayers, and so that's where I'm at, and so next week I will begin all that, and then, but hopefully, you know, it'll be, because I have the treatment next week, too, mm-hmm. so it'll be every 3 weeks come back, or every 3 weeks I go back there for the treatment, and hopefully the radiation will either, the hope is that it will reduce or even maybe eliminate the tumor.
So there is a possibility to just make it all go away, right?
It's a possibility, and also that it would kickstart the treatment so that mm-hmm. the treatment would do what it's supposed to do, right. you know? So anyway, so that's my health update, and I certainly wish the sun was shining today, you know? It's we've had so many dark days here yeah. in Chicago, yeah, you know? We're almost in June, and, yeah. you know?
It'll come.
We've had some beautiful days, mm-hmm. but it seems like most of these days have been dark and gloomy and
cold at night.
And yeah, yeah. So right now I need sunshine because it just, mm-hmm. it's uplifting. It's uplifting. With a blue sky, mm-hmm. that's what I miss, the blue sky. I don't like the haze, but there's a lot of things we don't like in life. We just have to thank God for the...
Life is work.
Saint Therese said, when somebody said something about, you know, the dark, gloomy days, mm-hmm. cloudy, overcast, she said, but the sun is still shining. It's we just don't see it. It's above there. And you know, by the way, when you fly and you fly above that,
yeah.
you know, the sun is there. So it's still there. It didn't go away. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break, come back. There's a lot of other things I want to talk about. Yesterday was Memorial Day. We want to talk about Holy Communion as yeah. well. I got to go back to yours, your students.
Right.
Yours were Sunday.
Sunday.
I'm so confused. We've had.
But I'd like to go back to the week
yes.
before.
Yeah,
also.
We'll talk about that because it was really beautiful. And they've all been. We've had three Holy Communions, mm-hmm. and they've all been really beautiful. So don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
Dear friends, you may have noticed that our live stream has been down. We're looking under the hood to get that fixed. Now, in the meantime, visit the Winds of Change Facebook page and look at the top post and click on the Vista Stream Guys link to download the Winds Media Player so that you can enjoy Winds of Change on your computer, no matter how you listen. Thank you for listening to Winds of Change.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Koska is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org and enter into the presence of Christ.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stan's School has an amazing PK 3 through 8th grade program focused on leadership and social-emotional learning, and is one of the only schools to implement the Reading and Writing Project of Columbia University and the University of Chicago. Everyday math across the board, PK 3 through 8th, is taught by our highly educated and dedicated teachers.
St. Stan's students are academically challenged with advanced level placement opportunities as their test scores and high school admissions speak volumes. St. Stan's is an integral part of the Wicker Park community, where you feel welcome and at home with other families and friends who enjoy the same warm, friendly, and safe atmosphere for their children. We have small classroom size, which makes a difference in the whole learning experience. Many schools have excellent programs. At St. Stan's, we empower students to be excellent. Join the St. Stan's family. It is a selective admissions process. Grades 1 through 8 are tested and interviewed. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. More information at ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org.
Welcome back, everybody. And so we get some really good news, happy news. Mm-hmm. And then I want to share with you something that I read and heard actually yesterday on Memorial Day. We really want to talk about that as well, which is it's a little bit of a downer, but it's important to look at this because we have to make a response. We have to do something. Mm-hmm. And then how do we keep peace? Because that was one of the things that Jesus said in the gospel yesterday. He says, I give you a peace, not the kind of peace the world gives, but the peace I give to you if you just remain with me. And he says, so don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be disturbed. Okay? But anyway, but let's go back to the Holy Communions, because you had your students yesterday right. received, and it was very beautiful. And we had on Saturday, we had the Spanish class, mm-hmm. Which was equally as beautiful. They were all beautiful. And then the week before, we had the school.
Right.
So people said, why don't you just pull them all together? It's because I guess they're
three different.
No problem. Different groups. They're with mm-hmm. their with their classes and all that. And so we try to keep it intimate like that. And they've all got their own masses. We're like many parishes in one parish, right. So, but going back to a week ago, you want to say something about that?
No, you say it, Father.
So we had. Before the mass started, the students were in their outfits,
right, getting ready,
white dresses and their suits and all that. And so I went to the back, and one of our parishioners, Andy Almaraz, he's been on radio. Yes.
Yeah.
So he just graduated and is a police officer, Chicago police mm-hmm. officer. So he just graduated this past week and. Or the 2 weeks ago, because this was a week ago Sunday, right. And so he was in the church in his uniform, mm-hmm. and it was really impressive to see him. So he came up before the mass began. He stopped by and was very happy to see him in his uniform. And he said, Father, would you bless me after mass in the sacristy? Mm-hmm. And I said, Yeah, I'd be happy. I said, absolutely. So he was there with his family, and of course they said. Usually they sit in the front part right. of the church, but they were farther back as we had the Holy Communion.
Right.
So as we go into the Mass, we start the Mass, and then as I read the Gospel and then started the homily, I could see him. I could see the students mm-hmm. in their outfits, their white dresses and their veils and the boys in their suits. And then I could see him behind them in mm-hmm. his police uniform. And it occurred to me as I was starting that, I thought, my gosh, and these were kids from our school.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, wow, I baptized Andrew. He went to our school. He received here his first Holy Communion. He received here his confirmation. He was a faithful altar boy.
Yeah.
He even, to the point that he even became the leader of the altar
teacher.
Boys, teacher.
Yeah.
He would prepare them really well. Then went off to college. We didn't see him, but, once in a while. He was mm-hmm. in Minnesota in college. Then he came back, and he got married, and he helps out from time to time. But then he joined the academy. He went through the academy, through the training, and he just graduated. So knowing that he was... that I had his baptism, that he made his Holy Communion, and I thought, wow, what a powerful thing to tell, you know, to share with the students. So I brought that into the homily because I tried to stress, and I do this more and more, I think on the radio as well, that what we've lost today is the discipline of the faith. We need desperately the discipline of the faith. And so knowing that perhaps more likely than not, a lot of these students probably will not be going to Mass every Sunday, because the sad reality is even in the school, while our students go to Catholic school, often the families don't observe the discipline of the faith. And this isn't unique to Catholicism. This is everywhere. Because we're such, the society is so radically secularized, and there isn't this holy fear of God, you know, we don't seem to reflect or think about the need or the why of our going to Mass every Sunday. First of all, keeping the law, but at the same time, in gratitude, and because God wants to do a work in our life. And so we need to be disposed. I mean, He knows His own. You know, if we're not with Him, it's like with any friendship. If you're not going to spend time with your friend, right, you know, the friendship kind of fizzles. You know, God is, He's always there, but He can't force anybody to remain with Him. But this guy, the police officer, has been faithful all along. He kept the discipline of the faith. And so I spoke about that in the homily and all this. And then as we completed the homily, and we went for we had the profession of faith, and then, of course, the prayers of the faithful, the prayers of the petition, as we pray, the universal prayer of the church, where we pray for the people. I thought, well, this would be, as I'm thinking, I said, you know what? I'm going to bless him now. Bring him up and bless him and bring the children with him. And so I said, at the last petition, I said, Officer Almaraz, you know, which was strange. He's Andy to me, but Officer Almaraz, come up to the front. And he came up, and I says, and I want all the children to gather.
Image is burned
beautiful,
in my mind.
Beautiful, beautiful image. It was so powerful.
We've had the masses for police, right, and, you know,
first responders,
yeah, and the firemen.
Firefighters.
But that image in my mind, and I'm glad you explained it, like, because it's, you don't plan things.
Right.
But that was so beautiful. It tied so well in what you were saying.
Sure.
And I now share that every year when we talk about this. Okay, here goes the eighth graders, they leave.
Right, right.
No more coming to Mass anymore. Or, you know, it's, you know, people that, you know, get married or something.
Right.
And then I intimately feel this with the kids we teach, and it's just like they're gone and you never see them.
Right.
But it fit. Only God's hand that it all fits so well.
It fits so well together. And so you're intimately involved in this because you're a catechist. And so you feel this, as I said yesterday, you know.
I would sit every year when you would say it. Okay, well, please don't be a stranger.
Right,
come back.
Right,
almost a pleading every year.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I'd listen, and then now it's like I'm part of it because I'm saying the same thing to the kids.
And you're really speaking to the parents because it's not the children's fault, you know. But
it's not.
But this is, so just to get the image in your head, those of you who are listening, and you better be listening. I trust you're listening. So I had Officer Almaraz come to the front, and I went down. I had him come into the sanctuary because we have the altar rail. The gate was open, and I told the students, you know, to come up as well. So they gathered around him.
Circle them,
right? And you get to see this. These are first of all, you get this big, because he. Andy is
like an adult now.
Well, he is an adult.
But no, I mean, I see Andy
we watch
him. He's an adult officer, and he plays the part. I mean, he's stern.
He's a strong, stern, serious, very disciplined.
Yes,
a kind of a guy, and he's a big guy, and so he's in this uniform, this big guy, this police officer. So I'm on the top of the stairs, because our sanctuary, there's several stairs that go up.
Right.
But he's at the, I think, on the first step.
Yeah.
And then the children, I said, you know, come in, you know, and they all gathered around him. They formed a semicircle right around him. And so as I offered the blessing, I said, I want you to raise your hands.
Raise your hand.
It was so beautiful, because here's these little kids. mm-hmm. in their
veils,
their veils and their white dresses and their suits and
suits.
And it was the most moving, most powerful image.
You know, an example,
a
beautiful example. Here's Andy from beginning till an officer now, right. and all these children just okay. I mean,
and they were so proud.
Yeah.
The kids were so happy, I offered the prayer.
Uh-huh.
They had their hands held over him, but I think the powerful prayer came from the children,
right?
You know, because they were very serious about
it. In a sense, it was their day.
Yeah, exactly.
But they came to serve in a sense. You know?
Absolutely,
it was just so such a beautiful.
And then did you notice? And this was so funny to me. Mm-hmm. So, at communion time. The kids, after they all received their first Holy Communion, okay, mm-hmm. and then the rest of the Sacred Assembly came, and right. we receive along the altar rail. They kneel, or they can stand, but most 98% kneel, mm-hmm. unless they just can't. Nobody's forced to do anything. And one of the mothers said, "It's Aiden's birthday today. could you bless him?" And I said, "Or could you mention him?"
Right.
Well, you know, this was an odd time to ask me that at communion time, but I said. Okay, you know, so I didn't want to leave him out because this mother is she's a beautiful person, very young. I've known her from the time I knew her when she was a little girl.
Right.
This is her son receiving Holy Communion. So at the end of the Mass after the final blessing, then I wanted to acknowledge and congratulate the students as well as their parents and the godparents and the family members. And I said, and by the way, I said. One of our one of, and Aiden his today is his birthday. Well, he didn't wait, did he?
Yes,
he got out of his seat and he came right up into the sanctuary for his blessing.
Like
you know?
I said, an example, the
right.
example, and it was so you could not have planned this. This was truly God.
It really was
in front of everybody.
It was, and I think everybody noticed that. I mean, he did. Not that I even called. I just said he got out. He came right, and he was so.
Yeah.
Proud and confident and happy, you know, and
yeah.
he stepped right into the sanctuary and stood there right for the blessing. Said, right. "Well, I guess I have to bless Aiden, you know, give him a special blessing as well."
Yeah.
But it really was a beautiful, beautiful, a powerful image,
mm-hmm.
and it is, I believe, the work of God. And you see, because we're going to take a break, we're going to come back, and I want to share with you what I heard yesterday, and it's called Rest in Pieces, or an obituary for America. And I think yesterday we had Memorial Day, so it's a little bit of a downer, but it's a reality, and it has to be acknowledged, so that we know that we have to respond. We have to respond. We cannot go through life with our head in the sand. You know, if I say that by nature I tend to be a pessimist, I'm always hopeful. But I know history because my life is lived in history because mm-hmm. the church is a historical, enduring historical reality that this is about a God who has revealed himself in history. He is the Lord of history. And we know going all the way back to the beginning even before the covenant that was made with Abraham, but even going back to the previous covenants, we know that if people do not have regard for God, that there are consequences. And God, and for this we're grateful, God is the only faithful one. God is consistent, he's constant. In fact, did you do the reading yesterday? I think you did.
Yeah.
The one book of Revelation?
Yeah.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
See, there was a beautiful sentence there about the 12 tribes
right.
and the 12 apostles. And what that does is it creates this continuity because the reading was about the heavenly Jerusalem and this kingdom that has come but is not fully realized until the end of time. When Christ comes, but the kingdom has come. And see, you got to think about this, people. As Catholics, we are at an advantage, and I mean this very seriously. There is no institution, sacred or otherwise, that has what we have in terms of this kind of historical continuity and the fact that we can fall back on thousands of years of witnesses, the saints, the patriarchs, the prophets. Yes, in Judaism they have the same patriarchs and prophets, but it stops with the messianic moment for those who didn't receive Jesus as a Messiah. Now, they've got historical figures, but we're the mystical body. And so we have, all we have to do is look at that mural in the church, and you've got this this beautiful image of the saints. But think about all the thousands of men and women who we honor almost on a daily basis in the course of a year. We don't talk about it enough on the radio. I should, you know, speak more about the saints. And maybe this is a time when we really need to start looking more at the saints, because these are our ancestors, and they had to fight the good fight in their time. They had to endure with trial and tribulation, the distresses and the oppressions of life. And as I've mentioned a couple of weeks ago when we, well, it's been more than a couple of weeks ago, it was at the beginning of Easter, when we unveil the mural, that it's as if they're shouting out to us, listen, we did it in our time, you have to do it in your time. We fought the good fight, you've got to fight the good fight, we're with you in this, we're interceding on your behalf. You know, the victory is ours, but you got to keep your eyes on Christ. And, you know, even those who have separated from the Mother Church, they don't have the communion of saints. They don't celebrate such a thing. Maybe certain individuals, but what we have is, because, you know, even, and this is unique to Roman Catholicism and to the Orthodox, you know, the East and the West, the ancient churches, and that is that, yes, they're not frozen in their time in history, but they continue to live and to intercede and to beckon us on. So we'll take a break and read this this obituary. Basically, it's an obituary, America's obituary. That's a donor, isn't it, right there, just hearing that. But we'll end with a happy thing, a joyful thing. Happy, I don't like the word happy. I've never been happy. I've always been, but I have joy. All right, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
Save the dates for Prairie Fest. Friday through Sunday, August 9th through the 11th at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois. More info at ByzantineCatholic.com.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So yesterday was Memorial Day, and I read this and heard it. Actually, I heard it, and then I read it. And I want to share this with you. Memorial Day, when we honored all those who laid down their life, that we would be a free people, a people with reasonable peace, and that we would live in a properly ordered society, because, and you can't deny this, we were founded under God, one nation under God, Judeo-Christianity. the precepts, principles, morality, the Ten Commandments. I mean, my gosh, up until I was in high school, I went to public school. We prayed every day. We had the commandments. We knew the commandments. We were taught the commandments. All that was obliterated about the same time that the abortion became legal. And anyway, let me read this because we're gonna. I tend to kind of ramble here, but it reads like this: if the obituary of our country is ever written, this is how it might read. United States of America, July 4th, 1776, November 4th, 2046, 270 years of age. The last of the great superpowers died quietly at home, surrounded by 350 million greedy, spoiled offspring. She has been in hospice care for 30 years. She didn't die from a Chinese nuclear bomb, election tampering Russians, or global warming, but had become lazy in her old age, squandering the wealth that generations before had created. On life support, by mutual agreement, the money-grabbing family members pulled the plug on the greatest experiment in democracy, liberty, and freedom to have ever lived. An autopsy revealed she died of natural causes, including apathy, laziness, political correctness, self-indulgence, sloth, and corruption. Conceived in garages, machine shops, farms, and ranches, America was born in Little Italy, the barrios, Chinatown, African-American ghettos, in Hell's Kitchen, Irish and Mormon communities, on Ellis Island, upon the plains, and in the great American West. She lived a life full of public service and proclaimed to the world, "Give us your poor, your huddled masses." Condolences poured in from around the world from those who were saved by her armies, her doctors, her farmers. Foreign leaders remembered America as a loyal neighbor who always spoke her mind, but who gave up her sons and daughters willingly so that others might be freed from the wicked rule of ruthless despots, murdering dictators, and barbarous ayatollahs. A veteran of foreign wars, her sons stormed the beaches of Normandy, and her daughters nursed the world's sick back to health. She willingly gave her bombs and her blood to conquer bullies like Hitler, Stalin, Hussein, Bin Laden, and countless others. After she'd beaten them in battle, she literally gave the shirt off her back to rebuild their cities and their economies. During her life, she adopted countless refugees from around the world, gave sanctuary to the UN, and her farmers and ranchers fed billions who would have died otherwise. With 5% of the world's population and 6% of the land, she produced 20% of everything man-made on Earth. She gave the world Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, and Google, and birthed the tech and the green revolutions. She taught the world how to farm. Her engineers and her scientists invented ways to remove much of the drudgery from work. Her teachers educated the world's most highly intelligent, and her doctors, missionaries, and volunteers kept famine and disease at bay. America's passing left many unanswered questions. Who will be willing to sacrifice her sons and daughters the next time a global bully tries to massacre an entire race? Who will give freely trillions of dollars when hurricanes, earthquakes, or despotic dictators leave a path of human destruction behind? Who will seek out and destroy the terrorists who went to murder everyone who doesn't worship their God? Who will tear down the walls that communism built or be a sanctuary for refugees who have nowhere else to turn? Who will entertain the world or spawn the next generation of Disneys, Jobs, Gates, or Bezos? Who will say to the world's unfortunate and poor, "Follow us, and we will lift you up"? America was preceded in death by common sense, decency, freedom, hard work, thrift, and good manners. She is survived by 50 states who suffer from the same deadly disease. Pallbearers were a corrupt career politician, a millennial on a skateboard staring at his cell phone, a representative of the transgender community who didn't know which bathroom to use, a homeless father who sired 5 kids and then ditched them, a Hollywood celebrity who made gory movies and violent video games, but blamed the Second Amendment every time a teenager tried to kill as many of his classmates as he could in 10 minutes. The CEO of a corporation who didn't pay taxes and stashed their cash overseas, and a quarterback who made millions of dollars playing a game in the good old USA, but didn't even stand for her flag or her national anthem. These will be the pallbearers. There will be no graveside service as America lost her faith decades ago. Instead of flowers, go to a church, a synagogue, or mosque, and say your prayers for the rest of the world.
Wow. It's
powerful.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Wow. That's all I can say. That is...
But isn't that a reality?
Yes. You know, seems that way.
I don't know anything about the gentleman who wrote this. His name is Lee Pitts. But it's food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care wherever you go. People know that something is radically wrong. And as mentioning to the students or to the at mass yesterday, mm-hmm. at all the masses, we can't deny. I just had my 35th anniversary of the priesthood, or I didn't have any celebration. I just was just aware of it,
right.
and I was happy, you know, yesterday at the Holy Communion, because I said, you know, it was 35 years ago that I had my first mass, mm-hmm. and so they were. I was happy to have their first Holy Communion to that group yesterday. But over these, just the 35 years of my priesthood, but even as I go back to the time I was a boy, and we've talked about this many times, but it's a very different world. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun, but the intensification, the rapidity of change, but it's this hostility toward God and toward the civilization that came from Judeo-Christianity, and this nation of ours, we have our issues. The church has her issues, but as I say so often, people, we, at least in Christianity, Judeo-Christianity, at least in the church, we have the possibility for reform, and we're always in need of reform, always in need of renewal. So we've had our rough edges. We have our Judas Iscariots. But as I say so often, Jesus had 12 apostles. It was one who betrayed him, one who sold him out. But we don't go through history fixated on Judas Iscariot. Jesus is the person of reference. And we live in a society now where there's these, I call it the powers and the principalities, they wanted to try to keep us focused on all the dark, bad things, the Judases, and turn a blind eye to what this great nation has done, and think of all those who did, as this gentleman points out, laid down their lives, and decency, good manners, hard work, selflessness.
Mm-hmm.
All this comes out of our Judeo-Christian ideology, our faith. But when we separate from God, well, we'll come back to this, but we'll take a break, and I promise we're going to end on a good note, because how do we keep peace? Remember, Jesus says in the gospel yesterday, be at peace. I give you a peace the world will not give. cannot give. So stay with me, cleave to me, let not your hearts be troubled. But don't put your head in the sand, and don't pretend as if, you know, it's a lost cause. Or don't pretend that it's just not what's happening is not happening. No, we've got to be proactive. We've got to be true to who we are. We come back, and I tell you something that I learned over the weekend as well: how to preserve the peace that Jesus promises. This peace the world cannot give. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Sometimes in life, we are confronted with the tyranny of choice. I know. Stop or go. Hot or cold. Up or down. This way or that way. You can contribute to Winds of Change one way or the other. One way is to go to windsofchangeshow.com. Then click on Support Winds of Change Show in the upper right-hand corner of the page. The other is to go to ststandschurch.org and click on the radio tab to make your donation, one way or the other.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. Really, it really is good to be back. I just feel like I've been gone for a long time. And so how do we... Jesus said yesterday in the gospel, this is from John's gospel, "Peace I give you, but not as the world gives you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I go in order to remain with you." So this peace, how do we keep peace? Where do we find this peace that the world cannot give? Celine, a friend of mine, old friend of mine, we are getting older, you know, so I've been knowing her a long time. Right. She sent this to me, and she heard it somewhere. I don't know, maybe on another radio show or somewhere, or maybe EWTN. But somebody, a priest, broke down the word peace, peace. A peace is P-E-A-C-E. This, I give you a peace the world cannot give. This is what we do to maintain peace, this peace that the world cannot give. So he took the word P, the first letter of the word peace. He says, you got to pray. P for prayer. You got to pray. There can be no peace, this peace the world cannot give, without prayer. E, the second letter, the Eucharist. And Eucharist, I give you food for the journey, my body, my blood, that you not collapse as you go on your way. Eucharist. A, the third letter of the word peace, adoration, that we adore God in the Eucharist, especially because there you're in the presence of God. You needn't say anything. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Speak, Lord. Your servant listens. You bring your heavy heart, your troubled heart, and Jesus will give you the peace. C, the fourth letter of the word, confession. We have to humble ourselves, acknowledge we are sinners, we need to repent, we have the sacrament of reconciliation, confession. We acknowledge this before we, as we begin Mass, we acknowledge this before we receive Holy Communion, but we have to really acknowledge in ourselves that we are sinners, And we need to confess daily our sins, if not, not sacramental confession, certainly for grave sin, but that every day examine our conscience and recognize, you know, what in me is an impediment or a barrier that really allows God to freely live in me and through me. Sin is a barrier. And then finally, E, everlasting life, that all things will end well for those who love God. Remember Jesus said the week before, you see, I make all things new. So peace, prayer, Eucharist, adoration, confession, eternal life, everlasting life. This gives us the peace. And this is what will enable us then to, like our ancestors, to lay down our lives. We're going to come back to this at the end of the week because we're going to speak about the ascension. The other thing that if we have peace and we'll have joy, and the breakdown of the word joy, J for Jesus, Jesus first, O for others, second, others, and the Y for you, your third. This is a, basically the love the Lord your God with your mind, your body, your soul, your spirit. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then finally, I just learned this the other day too. You've heard this thing, this phrase, knock on wood.
Right.
Knock on wood and all things will be okay. Do you know where that comes from?
Yeah, I
just learned the other day.
I do since Sunday. Yeah.
So it's the wood of the cross.
Wow.
Knock on wood, the wood of the cross, because by the grace of God, by the blood of the cross, by the wood of the cross, mm-hmm. all things will work out well. So that's where that comes from. Knock on wood.
Wow.
It's the wood of the cross. Knock on wood. We're gonna make it through this. We're gonna survive.
Jesus is our hope.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So anyway, so I hope that's a joyful note. We end on a joyful note. Be at peace, everybody. Be at peace. Prayer, Eucharist, adoration, confession, everlasting life. Indeed, it'll all end well. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Joe.
Truth left unsold, the truth left unsold.